very pleasant afternoon to you. We hope and pray that you have tuned in today to find answers from God's Word. The lines are available right now, so go ahead and start your calling to get your questions in, and we will get to the answers from God's Word today. The voice line is 308-9564. Both lines are available, so now's your chance. Many of you know that at the end of the broadcast, the lines do fill up, the questions pile up, and sometimes we're not able to get to all of those questions. So please don't miss out on this. Get your questions in now. 308-9564. You set the theme. You set the topic. But it is God that gives the answers. We're going to learn from Him. He's going to answer the questions because it is God's Word that provides for us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Through the knowledge of Him, that's what He furnishes us, everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so the Word of God is complete, and it thoroughly furnishes us to every good work. So that's why we make no apology to be able to go directly to the Bible for the answer. So the voice line is 308-9564. The text line, if you'd rather text us in your question, we also have that available as well. That text number is 725-9283, 725-9283. And we would be glad to get your question either way that you would like to get it to us, and we would be happy to go to the Bible for those answers. Please don't delay right now. Go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. Now, for those of you that have relatives or friends that are out of state or in other parts of the country, that does not mean they cannot tune in. They can also join us right now by going to our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and they can hit the live stream button at the bottom of the screen, and that will automatically send them to be able to hear the radio broadcast right now. So just go ahead and call them, whether they're out of state or out of the country. Communicate with them to go to our website, which is at BibleAlone.com, and they too can join us right now, live, on the air, to be able to call in their questions. They can call the phone line, which is the voice line, 308-9564. And by the way, as you're communicating with those individuals, let them know that this is area code 843. 843, the voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283, and they can tune in as well as we let the Bible speak.
If you are a longtime listener or even a new listener, you know that the caller is the one who is the star of the program. And so we encourage you to call. We appreciate your calls. Everyone who's ever called into the program has benefited not only themselves and us, but everyone else who listens. So keep that in mind as you're sitting there thinking, you know, I don't know if, you know, this is a question anybody else has got except me. Usually that is not the case. There might be 20, 30, 40 people out there who have the same question that you do. So we want you to not be shy. We try to be as friendly and open as possible, and again, we really respect the idea that you have a question about God's Word. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We all need to have faith before God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And one of the things that we often have here is a live caller, which is what we have right now. And we would like to be able to talk to the caller. Are you there?
Yes. Kim, are you there?
Yeah.
We're trying to get everything going here. Kim, go ahead. And
can you hear me?
Okay. We're not able to hear you at the moment. We will make those corrections in just a second. So don't hang up yet.
In the meantime, as we've said, that the faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and so we want to encourage you that the way to do that is to read the Word of God. So the reason why we turn to the Bible and why this program is called Let the Bible Speak is because that is where the answers to your questions and our questions, my questions, need to be found. You know, what do I do with the way the world is going? What do I do about raising my children? What do I do about the decisions with my family? And most importantly, what do I do about salvation with Jesus? How do I understand that? Do I pray the sinner's prayer? Do I go forward and to the altar and pray through until I feel something? You know, exactly how does the Bible teach that? And so it's important to us to go to the Scriptures. It may be that you have never looked into the Bible to say, well, what does the Bible say? I know what the preacher says every Sunday morning. I know what my friend's church does. But what does the Bible say about that? And so if you've got a question about how is it that the Lord expects His people to be saved, then that is a good question for you to ask, and we would go to the Scriptures and find that. So if you have a question about that or any other thing, then please call the numbers. The number here at the station is 308-9564, and the text line is 725-9283.
Okay, we got Kim, I think, where we can hear you. Kim, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can barely hear you for some reason.
Hello?
Okay, now we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is coming from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, 17, and 18. And my question is, and I just want to be sure, it says if anyone sees, in 16 it says anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death. I thought that every sin leads to death, but I guess I'm getting the understanding here that you would have to repent because Jesus has already, you know, died and been resurrected. Can you hear me?
Yes, so we can hear you. Did you notice, look at your text again in verse 16, when it says, when they see a brother sinning a sin, and then notice, which does not lead, they're all italicized words, which means they're not in the original text. And so if you read it like it was written, if anyone sees a brother sinning a sin to death. So it's in other words, this is something that sin is actually creating. There's an end, if you will, an end of their life. Thus that enables him, if he didn't die in the process of sinning that sin, then he will have an opportunity to repent and to be converted back to the Lord.
Oh, okay. So that's what it's saying. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Go ahead.
So, of course, if someone were to continue, keep doing that same sin, it would eventually lead to death.
Well, the very first sin, there's two ways to look at the word death. The word death means separation. So if we die, the very first time we sin, all sin comes short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23.
Right.
Then 6:23 says the wage of sin is death. So the very first time we sin, that means something is separated. And when you look at Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, God separates from us when we sin. So there is one kind of separation or death that under consideration. But I believe the one you're referring to here is talking about the end of someone's life. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I've looked at this passage and thought about the idea of ultimate spiritual death, that the person, you know, if they're not willing to repent, then someone praying for them is not going to change anything. You know, James says to confess your sins one to another and you'll be forgiven. Simon in Acts chapter 8 asked Peter to pray for him, and those situations are people who are willing to repent or willing to change and want to help. So that's how I've considered that passage. I haven't considered the idea that it might be physical.
Yeah, and then when you look at chapter 1, to agree with you there, Kim, it says, if we confess our sins, chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess, and then verse 7 also brings out walking in the light, so that would suggest the repentance. So when we repent and confess as a child of God, then he will forgive all unrighteousness as we turn away from that and confess it. So, but now this sin here, it talks about a sin to death, whether it is that where their life is ended or that they never, ever repent. It could be both ways there. If they never repent, then right. that is a sin that it separated them from God.
Right. And so, okay, I think I got it there. And then in verse 18, they are, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and you might want to help me out on that.
All right, well, let's read the rest of it.
Whoever is born, well, the only person I know was, I think there were some other people.
Well, let's just, the born again, John,
Jesus, I know that was
John chapter 3, born. John 3 verse 5 brings that, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So that's referring to our beginning of our walk with God. Mm-hmm. And so when we become a child of God, we're born of God. And it goes on to say he does not sin. Now, does that mean he will never sin again? No. But he, let's read the rest of it. But he who has been born of God keeps himself from, and the wicked one does not touch him. So if we are not walking in the light, well, then we're certainly walking in sin. But if we're walking with him, that is our manner of life, we're not practicing sin. It is not an ongoing practice or participation in sin, but we're walking with God. Well, that means we're keeping ourselves from sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now but all sin and come short of the glory of God. Yes, but part of that walk is we have to repent and confess, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. So it's the whole package. The idea of our manner of life is that when we become a child of God, we determine that we will never walk in darkness again. Now, will we sin? Well, yes. Verse 10 and verse 8 there in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have not sinned, we lie and do not practice the truth. We make him a liar, make God a liar. And so, yes, we're going to sin. But when we sin, we have to walk in the truth. We have to turn away from that, and then we have to confess, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. So here in this passage, it's talking about an ongoing practice of. It is an ongoing practice of walking in the light, or it is an ongoing practice of walking in sin. And if we're walking in the light, we're not walking in sin.
And in 1 John 3, verse 10, Kim, it uses that word practice. It says, then this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he one who does not love his brother. So the practice of sin or the practice of righteousness is what is really the consideration here.
Does that help?
But we have, we have to be in the Holy Spirit, because he said if we're not in the Spirit, then we're not one of his.
Well, let's turn that sentence around. The Holy Spirit has to be in us, rather than us. His word has got to be in control. His will has got to be what is leading us, and that's how the Holy Spirit works in us when we see and practice his will. And so it's not a matter of the Holy Spirit all of a sudden overwhelming us and forcing us to become something that, you know, that that's just not the way the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit works. He works in us as we let him, as we practice his will.
Yielding to him. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. We sure appreciate it very much. It's time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, we want you to be aware of a correction. Last week I announced it that our website, I had programmed it wrong, and you were not able to download the files that we had been telling you about in the last few weeks. Well, that has been corrected now. They are now downloadable. The file on Ask Your Preacher, you can download that and print it out as much as you want. The file on What Happens at Baptism is also now downloadable. You can print that out and use that as freely as you want. And there is a new file on the website that you can also download. There's been out in the theaters now for a couple of weeks, and we're kind of surprised no one called in to ask about it. But a movie called The Left Behind, that's the name of the movie. And it deals with millennial kingdom and such. And actually, it teaches a lot of things that are wrong. And so just so that you might have all your questions answered about that kind of concept, for years I've seen many people talk about the Left Behind series and the Left Behind books and such. And it is all built on a premise that is absolutely wrong, that is incorrect. And so I put together just a list of verses that go through and set the record straight from God's Word. I have no commentary whatsoever, just the verses there. You can download that as well, read those verses, and it will set the record straight about the proposed kingdom to still be set up on earth. No, the kingdom was set up in the first century, and you can have those verses as well just by going to our website at www.bibalealone.com, www.bibalealone.com, and you can download all of those and many more resources that are there, all free of charge, including the Bible Correspondence Course. Go ahead and you can download that, or you can call this number we're about to tell you, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free. Any of these resources, if you would like them to be sent to you in the mail, also make this phone call, and you will be able to get that in the mail this week. Time for our break, so we'll go ahead and give you that opportunity. Continue with your questions, and we will go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak. We are back live now, and we are looking for your questions, and we will be glad to go to the Bible for the answer. Again, this Bible Correspondence Course we mentioned is absolutely free. There is no charge, and it will be in the mail this week. So if you are a first-time caller to get the Bible Correspondence Course and you want the other resources, maybe if you don't have web access to where you can download these things, then ask for them. You can ask for the files we mentioned, that is, ask your preacher, or what happens at baptism, or the verses on baptism, on the Left Behind series. We'll be glad to send those to you as well. Again, that number is 553-5157 to ask for those materials to be sent to you, and we are happy to do that. One more time, that number is 553-5157. But now, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's our voice line, 308-9564. And you can ask your question, and it can be written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. It is your choice. We would be happy to get your question either way. Now, if you'd rather just text us, you can do that as well. Again, all of these are area code 843, and the text line is 725-9283.
We have a question from Sam from North Charleston. Sam's a frequent listener, and we appreciate so much you calling in again today and asking us a question from the Bible. This question that Sam has today is, how come the book of Enoch is not in the Bible? And I believe that's in 2 Peter, is it not, where the Moses was, the body of Moses was here it is. In Jude, the book of Jude is where this is found. Enoch is talked about, but I don't think that's the reference to the. I guess that's the one. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Well, that's a lot of ungodlies in there, isn't it? Well, this is supposedly from the book of Enoch. And so Sam's question is, well, why isn't that in the Bible? Well, I couldn't tell you other than the fact that it's just not. If you ask, well, if it's not in the Bible, then why is it quoted here? Well, it's quoted here because the Holy Spirit felt that it was obviously something Enoch said and should be in the Scriptures. But when you think about all the things that are in the Bible, does that mean that there should have been a book about it somewhere that's been lost, and is that a problem? And he also asked about the book of Maccabees. Well, the book of Maccabees is part of the Apocrypha that is not considered inspired literature, not even by the Jews, that was written during that 400-year period between the end of the Old Testament and beginning of the New Testament. And so that book is not inspired either, and so they're not included in the Scriptures. You find that book of Enoch thing?
Well, the reason it's not in the Bible is because it didn't claim to be Scripture.
Right.
And thus, that was one of the very first tests of the canon of what to put in the Bible and not. First of all, does it claim to be Scripture? And so there's a lot of pseudographia as well as the Apocrypha. Those are books that people want to ascribe to Scripture, which they don't even claim to be in Scripture. Another commonality of these books is that they do not say, "Thus says the Lord." Now, if any of you that are frequent Bible readers, you know that you read that phrase over and over and over again throughout the Bible. Well, that phrase is not used in those books as well. And so those were two of the main guidelines that they used to determine what was Scripture and what was not Scripture. And so that's the reason that it's not included in the Bible. It would not be even up for grabs from that standpoint because, you know, that's important, you know, if it's claiming or quoting God, you know, because it's called, God's Word.
Right. And there were no prophecies of the Apocrypha in the New Testament.
Right.
And so that would be another reason, because if Jesus would have thought it was inspired, mm-hmm. then he would have said so.
Yeah, and the books of the that are included in the Bible, many will quote from other places throughout the Bible. For example, the book of Hebrews has 13 chapters. I have forgotten how many verses there are, but there are more quotes from the Old Testament in the book of Hebrews than there are verses in the book of Hebrews. And so you can see how it is all intertwined and weaved together and clearly showing that there is a mastermind behind it all. Well, you just don't see that in the apocryphal writings, the pseudographia, or any of the Gospel of Mary or Jude or Judas or Enoch or and on it goes. Those are not included in the Bible because they do not claim to be the Word of God.
Here's another thing that I thought about. You know, I think about the Book of Enoch. I'm thinking, well, there ought to be. I think there was a reference to the Book of Enoch, and there really isn't. It doesn't state the Book of Enoch. It
right.
just says something Enoch says.
Yes, yes.
And so that's a whole different matter.
Yeah, yeah. And so thank you very much for your call. We sure do appreciate that. That's a unique question. I don't think we've had that asked before.
Nope.
We sure do appreciate that, and we like being challenged, and we thank you so much. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, to let the Bible speak, it says, all Scripture, that is, that which is God-breathed, is inspired of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So the Scripture is what furnishes us to every good work, not the writings of men. For example, I'm sure Paul wrote letters to people that are not included in the Scriptures because they were not inspired of God. You can see even in the book of 1 Corinthians where at one point it says, and thus I say, not God, and thus you can see that he's making a difference there. But yet God allowed it, so therefore God was behind it, and thus it was recorded in Corinth, the book of Corinthians. And so thus you can see God condoned him to add his 2 cents as he wrote even in that book, showing how intricate, how detailed, how reverenced they were toward making certain people knew this is what God says. And so we better listen to what God says because one day, yep, we're going to be hearing what God says about whether we followed what God says. So let's stick with it, and we will find all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. It's time for us to take our next break, and we're going to come back in just a minute to this question. Tom's question is, was Jesus a Baptist? Well, Tom, that's a good question. And we'll be able to find the answer as soon as we get back. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions. The number is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for your participating in the program this morning. This afternoon. We appreciate Sam calling in. We appreciate Kim, who called in live to the program. And so we are always, always appreciative of those who participate in the program and offer such good questions and challenging questions to us. And oftentimes the answers are challenging for us to get across in a couple of sound bites, as it were. And so we always encourage you to read the context of the verses that we talk about. And so, like with 1 John, for instance, 1 John's not a long book, but to read that whole section really puts that question into context. And so we encourage you to do those things as well. If you'd like to call us and participate in the program as well, 308-9564 is the line here at the radio station. You can also text us at 725-9283. And as you've been hearing, the encouragement to take the Bible correspondence course so you can study on your own any day of the week, that would be a great blessing and helpful to you as well. So we invite you to participate in any or all aspects of the course today.
We have Tom calling in this question. And by the way, lines are now available if you want to call in your question. The number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. The lines are both available. You can call in your question right now. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Tom called in this question. He wants to know, was Jesus a Baptist? Well, Tom, there's a lot of ways we can approach that. First of all, let's get the one that I think you might mean clear, and that is, the Baptist church did not start for over 1,000 years after Christ went back to heaven, after he had already set up his church. And so as far as him being part of the Baptist church, then obviously not. Well, now, then there was John the Baptist. And so that's the only person in the Bible that was referred to as a Baptist. But it was not a Baptist, as we might think about it, that he belonged to. It was a description of what he does, and that is he baptized people, and he was the first one to do that. But he was not the only one to baptize in the New Testament. Matter of fact, when you look in John chapter 4, you find these words, John 4, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. And so he came to the city of Samaria, and that story continues. So you can see there that even Jesus was baptizing those disciples, those that were following after. Now, what was this baptism all about? Well, we can see in Mark chapter 1 that it told information about this purpose. Mark 1, beginning with verse 4, it says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So even their baptism, even before Jesus died on the cross, they were being immersed for the remission of sins by John and by Jesus' disciples. They were all, and John had disciples as well, and they were all baptizing in a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, all that said, the baptism of John the Baptist, or these disciples of Jesus here, were teaching a baptism to come later, and that is the true remission of sins that would be symbolic of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, explained in Romans chapter 6. And that is the baptism that is valid today. In Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So this baptism is symbolic also a parallel to Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. So your question, Tom, about was Jesus a Baptist? Well, he was baptizing folks, or at least his disciples were. And that baptism, while he was alive before he died and before he rose from the dead, was a different reason or motive than what we just read in Romans chapter 6. The Romans chapter 6 passage, or Acts chapter 2 and on, as far as a timeline is concerned, from the day the church began, that baptism was to put us into Christ, as well as to wash away our sins, Romans 22 and verse 16, Acts 2, 38, remission of sins, and that we would rise to walk in newness of life. That would be a baptism of being born again into Christ. Notice, in Romans 6, we're baptized into Christ. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Thank you, Tom, so much. And you are to be congratulated for asking a question like that. I probably went a little bit too deep. I hope I didn't. But again, those passages were John chapter 4, John chapter 3, and then also Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Go ahead and read that whole chapter. You'll get a lot of information out of that, Romans chapter 6. The number 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart.
We have a text question from Ms. Kelly, and it is a question that has to do with the shape of the cross that Jesus was crucified on. There are several ideas about that, and in the text she had mentioned that a friend of hers has a theory that it was just a straight pole, just a straight tree. Well, I don't know of any verse in the Bible that clearly states what was the shape of the cross. We know Simon of Cyrene was asked to bear the cross for Jesus, and we know that he was crucified on the cross. We know that there were nails in his hand and his feet, and we know the soldier put his sword in the side, and out came blood and water. Those are the facts of the cross of Jesus, but we are not told what shape it should take. So if it doesn't tell us what shape it should take, should we make a doctrinal statement on that? And should we make a big deal about that if the Bible doesn't say? Well, what the Bible does say about the cross is that Jesus died on the cross, and that's the essential part of this, and that's the point that God wanted us to get. So when he died on the cross, what did he accomplish? Well, he who knew no sin became sin for our sakes, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so the message of the cross was preached throughout the world. That is, that Jesus died, and that he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. That's the message of the cross. So the essential things about the cross is that Jesus died for our sins. And then what do we need to do in order to benefit from that cross? Well, again, the preaching of the cross that was go throughout the whole world was that he that believes this message of the cross and is baptized shall be saved. And so when you preach the cross, what you preach is how to be saved and redeemed. And that's really the essence of the cross and the emphasis that we read about in the New Testament. So yeah. We appreciate so much that question.
Yeah, and if you do some research into history, you'll find out that the Romans, they would crucify anybody to anything, any wooden object, tree that's alive, tree that's dead. If there was some boards on the side of a house, they would crucify them on the side of a house. They had problems finding enough things to hang people on or to crucify people back then. And so it was the shape of the cross, that's not what was really of major concern. The fact of the matter is Jesus did that for us to redeem us. He was crucified so we would not have to be punished. And thank you so much for your question. We have Ronald calling in this question. By the way, the lines are available. Yes, both lines are available. The number is 308-9564. Now just one line is available, but go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. If the phone keeps ringing, just hang on, let it ring, and we'll get to you as quick as we can. The text line, there is no wait, 725-9283, 725-9283. We have Ronald calling in this question. He says, what's the difference between baptism and repentance? Ronald, that's a great question. I appreciate that very much. You are to be commended for thinking along this line. Let me direct you to several passages. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, it brings out a little bit about repentance and what leads to repentance. It says, "For godly sorrow leads to repentance, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world leads to death." Now, the word repentance means to turn around, an about face, to go in the opposite direction. So if we're practicing sin, then we have got to not practice sin, and that would be repentance. Many times, though people will be motivated by worldly reasons rather than godly reasons. And just because someone repents or turns away from practicing sin, maybe they get their hand caught in the proverbial cookie jar. They get caught, and thus they don't want to do that anymore because it made them feel bad. Well, that's not a godly sorrow, unless they're being considered what God is seeing. Well, then if that's the motivation, then that will lead to a repentance without regret, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Now, baptism is an actual stage of obedience to where that we, after we not only repent, we confess our allegiance to Him, that He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord of our life, and then we are immersed, that we are literally put underwater, rising to walk in newness of life. I would encourage you to read Romans chapter 6, Romans 6, verse 3, 4, 5, 6, and that will give you a lot of information in verse 7, actually the whole chapter, Romans chapter 7, the whole chapter of chapter 6. But the very first day that our baptism began is in Acts 2 and verse 38. When the children of Israel heard about the Messiah, they asked, "What must we do?" After being told they must know assuredly that Jesus is Lord and Christ, then they were told in verse 38 to repent and be baptized, every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says, "Then they received the word and were baptized, and that same day there were about 3,000 added." And verse 47 tells what they were added to. They were added to His church. So there you have it, Ronald. We sure appreciate your question very much. And for your listening, you are to be commended. That shows that you have a hunger that will be filled. Reason I know that? God promises it. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you'll be filled. Thanks, Ronald. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the number for the voice line. If you would rather, you can text us at 725-9283. By the way, we're also directing you to our website today. You can download the files we've been mentioning in the last few weeks. Ask Your Preacher is one. What Happens at Baptism is another. And what does the Bible say about this left behind thing that everybody's talking about and that's in the movie theaters? What is the truth on that? What does the Bible say about the kingdom of God and it being set up today versus set up in the first century? Well, you do yourself a favor by going and seeing those verses for yourself. Go ahead and download it. Again, the Bible, all of this is downloadable from our website at BibleAlone.com. Now, if you want the Bible Correspondence Course, you can get it there online, or you can just call this number, 553-5157. Ask for whatever resources that we've mentioned, and we'll be glad to send them to you. 553-5157. All of you can call right now. You'll be able to get through, and we're happy to send these things to you. And so just go ahead and call 553-5157. While we are at break, continue with your questions, and we'll go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak. That's exactly what we will do. We will let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind and on your heart. Maybe something happened today at services where you're at, or you've been studying and you read across something. What in the world is that talking about? Well, go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Your question can be written down and brought in, or you can go live over the air. The choice is yours. The questions are yours. You set the theme. You set the topic. God gives the answers as we let the Bible speak. So make certain that you put it in the form of a question so we can know where to go and how to find the answer in God's Word. Now, if you'd rather just text us, you can do that as well with your cell phone. Again, that cell phone text number is 725-9283, 725-9283, and we can get your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Now, by the way, what we just told you about in the Bible Correspondence Course, it is free. If you have any questions about that, you can actually get this in the mail to you, the Bible questions, the Bible study, the Bible Correspondence Course. And then once you get it, you'll get it in the mail this week. You can study that anytime you want to. So there's no time pressure. There is no reason to feel intimidated. You just take it, you open up the Bible, you read what the Bible says concerning what the course says, find the answers, write them down, study it as much or as little as you want. When you can concentrate, the best is the best time, and then send it back in the mail to us. We will grade it, send you the next lessons. We send you lesson one the first time, lesson two and three the second time, and then the third mailing, we send you lesson four, five, and six. And then you finish the first course. And then we have many other courses of study after that. You may just discover some things in God's Word that you've never seen before, which may, believe it or not, may prevent you from going to heaven one day. If we do not know some of these things that the Bible has said now for thousands of years, but for some reason, we just have not seen them. They've never been opened up to us. Even if we pray, Lord, send us the truth, well, what do you think he's doing right now? That is, let's go to the Bible for the answers. They've been here all along. They're not going to come through a dream. They're not going to come through some kind of special anointment and such. It will come through God's Word. And so get this in the mail to you. Find the answers in God's Word, because that's where we will be judged one day. By the way, most churches today, they are restricted from telling you the truth because it doesn't fit into their denominational doctrine. And what we need to do, though, if we really want to know the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, go ahead and get this course in the mail to you. It is free. The only thing you have to lose is a home in hell. Yeah, we want to lose that for sure, don't we? Let's find our home in heaven the way God directs. Call 553-5157, and we will get that in the mail to you even this week. 553-5157. Steve, you have next question?
Yes, we have a question from Sam, and Sam's got an interesting question, maybe a question that a lot of your parents or grandparents have had asked of you by your kids or grandkids. And here's the question: where did God come from? Now, kids are prone to ask those questions because they just know what is here, not too sure about what is true about the spiritual realities of life. And so Sam's would kind of get that question from his grandkids and wants, got some ideas about how to answer that. I guess the first thing I would say is that God is in heaven, and we see that in 1 Kings chapter 8 when Solomon talks about blessing the temple and beginning the temple. And he says this about the temple: "Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built." So what that tells us about God is that God is greater or bigger than anything that we've ever conceived of. He is eternal. That is, he's not limited by time or by space. Being eternal, he has no beginning, he has no end. And so God is just so totally different from us. And because he's different from us, then he isn't born like we are born. He doesn't come from South Carolina or North Carolina or wherever people come from where they're born. That's just not typical of what we think about eternal things. He is a spirit. John 4:24 says God is a spirit. So he's not like flesh and blood. And because he's not flesh and blood, because he's not like us, then he doesn't have a beginning like we do. And so I would encourage you, Sam, just to kind of help your kids think about and relate to the fact that he's not like us. He is a spirit, and he is not flesh and blood. And so just tell him, because he's not flesh and blood, he doesn't have a beginning. Because he's eternal, he doesn't come from someplace, but he is everywhere. That is a nature, a characteristic, rather, of the nature of deity. and God is in a different class all by himself. And so, Sam, we appreciate asking the question. I tell you what, we also appreciate the fact that you got kids that are asking you, and we appreciate the fact that you're just kind of wanting to have some ideas about how to answer such kind of questions that, maybe can be related even to a young person in the way they think about things. So we appreciate so much that question. And we encourage others to participate in the program, as some have already done. And we benefit. The people who are listening in the radio benefit. And so there is nothing to lose, everything to gain. And so we encourage you to, again, keep participating in the program. If you'd like to call in, whether be on live or to call in a question, just call us here at the station. That number is 308-9564. And you can text us at 725-9283. And what you're getting here on the air is a lot what you'd get in the Bible correspondence course, except you cut out the middleman. You know, you can just study for yourself at home. And the benefit to that is that you can see for yourself what the Bible says. And that is such a great thing. That is such a exciting thing to be able to see, yes, that's what it says. I can't believe that's what it says. I never knew that's what it says. And so there is kind of a real excitement that comes when you yourself can read exactly what God would have you to read. So that number, 553-5157, that's the number to call to get this Bible correspondence course that you can read and study what the Bible says. Another thing you'll see is that the things that were taught there were taught everywhere in every church. How about that? There's a unity of teaching and uniformity of that. So please avail yourself of that opportunity to study.
We want to thank you so much for your question. It shows your heart and your desire to hear what God says and to be able to learn from His Word and want to do and to try and please God. And so you're to be commended. We thank you so much for your question and for your desire and for your listening today. Again, the number, if you have a question, you can call right now at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Both lines are available. Now's your chance to call in your question. If you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, you set the question, you set the theme, God's Word will give the answer. We have William calling in this question. His question says, Mark 11:24. Please explain, please. And so the verse simply says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay, well, if we just take that one verse and lift it out of context, lift it out of what Jesus was talking about in several places, then wow, where could we go with that? Well, wait a minute. All we have to do is listen to some of the preachers across the land, and you'll hear people use that and lift it out all the time. But I'm not going to do that to you, William. We're going to look and see what else Jesus had to say concerning this in the context as in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, there Jesus says in verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appoint you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So there's that sentiment again. And so when you look, this is a long elaboration here in John chapter 15 where he's talking to them. And you see the word if show up several times. And he's letting us know. Well, let's just go back to verse 10 right quick. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain with you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down one's life for a friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Again, we can see here the command the condition that he places upon this, if we're doing his will. We've got to be doing the will of the Father. We've got to be abiding in his will. He starts it with the chapter with his statement that I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he has taken away. And every branch that it bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, he says in verse 4, twice, and so on. We've got to be abiding in him, doing his will. 1 John also talks about this. We've got to be doing the will of the Father. It's got to be according to his will. Over and over again, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out demons, and thy name done many wonders? And I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So thank you so much, William, for your question. You are to be commended, and thank you for bringing that out. It is important, and probably a lot of people wonder about that same thing. It's time for us to take our next break. We want you to know we only have 30 minutes left, so go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. The lines are available, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much for continuing with us through the break, and we hope that information you just heard compelled you to sign up for that Bible correspondence course. Again, we can say over and over again what a blessing it is and what an encouragement it is to you, but you won't experience that until you try it. And so we just anticipate that you will appreciate and enjoy that, because everybody else that has done that has benefited from it, has enjoyed it. Not everybody has finished it, but they sure enjoyed and learned from what they did. So we trust that you'll have the fortitude and for the spiritual interest that will see you through to that course. If you have questions, please call us here at the station. Bible questions, we will give you Bible answers, because that's all that we really know. And you don't want to know what we know, but you want to know what the Bible says. And so call 308-9564 here at the station, or you can text us, and that number is 725-9283. We've got some questions here, so let's get right to them. Ricky?
Yes, and we want to commend everybody for participating in today's broadcast. If you go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, you will get your question in, and we can deal with it on today's broadcast. Greg calls in this question. Greg, go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 19 for the answer. Greg's question is, the Bible says that God forgives all sin, and you're exactly right. If we repent, Jesus says in Luke 13:3, repent or you shall all likewise perish. So if we repent and then also do what is necessary in order to be forgiven, whether we are not a child of God, followed repentance, we have to confess and be baptized to be able to have our sins washed away. That is Acts 22 and verse 16. We see that done by Saul. Then also, once we are a child of God, then we have that connection that Jesus is our mediator, and we have to repent and confess, 1 John chapter 1, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So you're right, Greg, we have been forgiven of all sin. But did you notice both of those instances were preceded by repentance? Repentance is a turning away from the sin, and we cannot have an ongoing practice of sin and be forgiven, because we are still practicing the sin. Well, his question goes on. If I were married and divorced and then married again, and 14 years now, God has forgiven the party. Has God forgiven the party that marries again? Well, again, he will not forgive until we repent. We've got to repent or perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. There's only one concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, or, if you will, adultery, the practice of adultery or fornication. That is the sin. And the only ones that God recognizes as married are when two individuals have never been married again, then God joins them together, Matthew 19 and verse 6. What God has joined together, let no man separate. The only exception to this is when someone that is married divorces for adultery or fornication. It says in verse 9, and I'm going to leave the exception out, and then I'll come back and add it. It says, and I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, I went ahead and added it, and marries another, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So the only individuals that are allowed to marry would be people that have never been married, people that have put away a guilty spouse because of adultery, or a third one would be someone who has a mate that has died, that is no longer living. Romans chapter 7, verse 3 and 4 brings that out. Those are the only three individuals that God will allow to be married, and his rule, as he's the one that joins the two together. Now, there's a lot of people that may say they're married, but that does not mean in God's eyes that they're married. This is something that he legislates, that he binds together. It is not just men involved. This is God as well, an institution he created and that he's involved with. So let me repeat one more time. Those that have never been married, those that have put away a guilty party for the cause of fornication, and those that have lost a mate to death. Those are the only three individuals that God would actually participate in binding together in matrimony. Matthew chapter 9, read verses 3 through 12. You'll get the whole context, and hopefully that helps you, Greg. We sure do appreciate it very much. Again, the number is 308-9564.
We have a text question from someone who asked about baptism. They said that they have been baptized for the remission of sins, but now they're being told that they need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit as well. Well, let's look at the examples of baptism in the first century when it was first preached. In Acts chapter 2, for instance, is maybe the first place we want to go to. And part of these people were guilty of crucifying Jesus. And when Peter told them that, then they said, well, what are we going to do about that? Verse 37. So Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And then it goes on to say, for the promise is to you and to your children. The latter part of verse 38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so there was a benefit, a gift of the Holy Spirit given to those who were baptized in Jesus. Okay, so that's one passage. So go to another passage, Acts chapter 8, and this is a clear reference to baptism as well. It was a people in Samaria who were hearing the preaching of Philip, and when they heard that preaching, it says in verse 12 that they were baptized, both men and women alike. And then in verse 13, Simon was baptized. But then, in order for them to receive a spiritual benefit, it says that Peter and John came down from heaven to lay on hands so they could have a spiritual gift and thus speak in tongues.
Not from heaven, from Jerusalem.
From Jerusalem, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That came a fur piece.
Yes.
So the reason I bring those passages up, particularly the one here in Acts chapter 8, is that the teaching of the being baptized in the Holy Spirit is to receive gift of speaking in tongues. I mean, that's usually the thing. The evidence of the baptism is speaking in tongues. This passage does not equate those two. It has a separate relationship to the speaking in tongues apart from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but due to the laying on of the hands of Peter and John, of the apostles. And everything, every example you can find in the New Testament of a person who had been baptized receiving a spiritual gift was through the laying on of the apostles' hands. So there wasn't an additional being baptized by the Holy Spirit. In fact, there is a passage in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, so it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's not to be confused with the Holy Spirit baptism, but by the encouragement or the teaching or the instruction, the influence of the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Well, how'd that work? Well, those people in Acts chapter 2, when they were baptized, the Lord added to the church, his son's body, those who were being baptized. And so that was not as a result of the Holy Spirit baptism, but because of their baptism in water, they were added to the Lord's church. And so by the influence of the Spirit, they were all baptized into one body. So there isn't a second baptism that one has to do. In fact, Ephesians 4, Paul says there is one baptism. And so that hopefully is helpful to your question about whether or not you need to be baptized a second time. If you would like to pursue that further and talk to us, call us here at the station or the 553-5157 number, and we would be glad to sit down with you and study that out more thoroughly.
And if you go to our website, BibleAlone.com, and go to the Bible materials, you'll be able to download a whole list of things that occurs at the baptism that the New Testament church is supposed to be practicing today, and two pages worth. And so you'll be able to see a number of things that do occur when someone is immersed in water today. Now, you're also called in this question or texted in this question, is speaking in tongues the only evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, the speaking in tongues that you're referring to that you see practiced today is not what we read in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 4, is the very first time that that activity is ever referenced in God's Word. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, as you read on, you'll find out that not once, not twice, but three times, it is defined what they were doing. In verse 6, it says, when the sound occurred, that would be the rushing mighty wind, they were confused because they heard them speak in his own language. And then in verse 7, they were confused because are not all these Galileans? And then verse 8 says, how is it we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then in verse 11, it says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Three times we see that the tongues speaking referenced in the Bible were languages of man and not what is going on today. Now, just to give you a quick little activity that you can do to verify this fact, and that is just about everybody's got a smartphone. If you don't, just get a recording apparatus. Go record some of that. Record them speaking in tongues, and then at a separate time, go to interpreters, people that claim to be an official gift of interpretation, and ask one interpreter to reinterpret what they hears on the recording, then go to a different church and ask another and ask another and ask another, and you will find out real quick there's just something wrong going on. And you will clearly be able to see that that is the case. It's entirely different than what was going on in the New Testament. So don't be taken in by such emotional activities as that. It's time for us to take our last break. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions at 308-9564. We also want to let you know that now the material on our website is downloadable. That is, Ask Your Preacher, a series of questions and verses. Then also that you can download What Happens at Baptism. And then there's a new list of verses, passages that you might want to be considerate of when you consider all of these left-behind theories of premillennialism, the kingdom going to be set up and such, and then you will not be caught up into such as that. All of that is free to you, of course, including our Bible correspondence course. If you don't have the ability to get online, then just call 553-5157, and we'll make certain that you get your copy of those things, even in the snail mail. And again, now you can call and enroll in this course. It is absolutely free, and we'll be glad to send you any or all of those materials at your request. You must request those things. Again, that number, 553-5157. If you have a question, call right now, and we will let the Bible speak. We are still standing by for more questions. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. There's one line available, so make certain that you just let the phone ring if you call now. Or you can text us at 725-9283. The questions are yours. The theme is yours. The Bible correspondence course that we send to you, well, that belongs to you. You study it. You fill it out. Send it back. We'll send it back to you along with the next questions. And by the way, most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So don't be caught up in that. Don't be put into a box that God never intended you to be put in. Let's learn the truth. Let's remove the blinders that the devil has put on us through doctrinal restrictions of denominational teachings, and let's seek the truth. See the truth for yourself by studying from God's Word, which will build faith, and that kind of faith can only come from God's Word. You know this verse, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not the Word of preacher, not even the Word of people on the radio like us. Don't listen to us. Listen to God, His Word, for He is the one that's going to judge us one day based on how well we listen to His Word to begin with. So let's not be caught off guard by being put into this box that many denominations would have us to be in. Let's just follow the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Won't you do that? Go ahead and call 553-5157 and get that course in the mail to you and check it out. Make certain that it's right, because one day we're all going to be held accountable before the Most High God. Again, that number, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, hurry. Go ahead and call in your question at 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We have a question from Linda, and she asks, the Bible says that we reap what we sow when we sin. Well, how long do we go through the reaping and sowing now that we are under grace? Well, I don't know that that makes any difference. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, and Paul talks to the churches of Galatia. So he's referring to Christians, those who are under grace. And he tells them, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Whether you're under grace or not, there is this physical as well as the spiritual law about sowing and reaping. A Christian can reap to the flesh, and they will sow to the flesh, rather, they will reap of the flesh. Or they can sow to the Spirit and reap from the Spirit. And there's another side to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that talks about this same idea. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So how long does that last? Well, as long as we're sowing, we shall be reaping. Whatever we're sowing, we shall be reaping. So, Linda, I appreciate those questions. I appreciate the fact that you called, and I hope that those passages I gave in Galatians chapter 6 as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you read those contexts, that will help out a great deal. And I think we have a
you have a live caller standing by, and I believe Susan is standing by. Let me make certain I can hear you, Susan. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, I wanted to know... I was married before, and my husband was fooling around behind my back, and also I was doing the same thing to him. And I asked him that he wanted to try to make our marriage work again, but he said no. And so I went ahead and I got a divorce and I remarried. And he passed away in January of this year. And I was just trying to find out, am I really married to this other man and God died?
Okay, well, I believe we'll find the answer in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 2, it says, for the woman who has a husband is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's Romans chapter 7, verse 2 and 3.
Okay, so it's saying that I'm not really married to this man.
No, it says that being that your first husband died, then you're no longer would be called an adulteress.
Okay, well, he died before I married this man, though.
Well, again, you would be no longer married to the first husband because he died.
Okay, I really wanted to know that.
Yeah, that's Romans chapter 7, verse 2 and 3.
Thank you, and you have a blessed day.
Okay, well, thank you, Susan. We sure appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we thank you, Susan, for participating in today's broadcast and your interest. And obviously, that is a heartfelt, close-to-home question and one of, I know that gives you a lot of relief in that. Again, that's Romans 7, verse 2 and 3. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. You can text us at 725-9283.
We've got about 4 minutes left, and if you've been waiting to call, then please do it now. That would be the best thing for you to do.
If we can't answer your question today, we'll answer it at the beginning of next week.
Don't worry about calling too late, because we will give you our word that we will bring that up the first thing in our next program. We have been speaking about Bible answers. We have been looking at the Scriptures. We've been finding solutions in the Scriptures, and that's why the Scriptures were given. All things that pertain to life and godliness are found in the knowledge of Him, 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says. And we're also told in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Now, that sounds like something we all could benefit from. So please, we ask you, for your own sakes, for your own benefit, to give your attention to the Word of God.
We also want to direct you to our website this week. If you get a chance, go to BibleAlone.com and download these materials that we mentioned. And also, if you've never enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course, don't miss out on this. That number is 553-5157. It will be ready for you even at the end of the broadcast. And so don't miss out on getting those things, those materials to you if you request those, or the daily message during the week. The reason we're trying to get you into the Bible and your heart to listening to God directly from your Bible is so that you will be able to show yourself approved unto God, to have your own faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Don't try to twist or to go find what you already believe, but rather just erase everything you've believed and let God build you back after His image. That's the best way, the best approach that I have seen to be able to bring about the truth and letting it reign us in and get us from the sinful activities of this life and to be able to cause us to become what He desires for us to be. And by the way, if you have any questions as far as you want on the website or want to, on the radio program next week, you can continue to call in during the week. Or text that number, 725-9283, and we'll be glad to use your question on next week's broadcast. We want to say thank you so much for your participation in today's broadcast, and all of you that have enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course, we are very much thankful for as well. That is a tool that we use to be able to help you in the study of your Word. God's Word. And so we want you to be aware of that we are also trying to plan another gospel meeting coming up in about 4 weeks. So stay tuned for that. Next week, we'll give you more details on that. We do know it will be in the Goose Creek area. So don't miss out on that coming up in about a month, middle of November and we will be glad to meet you face-to-face. So we'll go ahead and mark your calendar the middle weekend of November, and we'll be glad to meet you face-to-face and have a live Let the Bible Speak program there in the Goose Creek area. We want to say thank you for joining us today, and we hope and pray that you've been blessed by the things that we've covered from God's Word. We thank you for your questions and your hunger and thirst after righteousness. We want to say again, tune in next week as we let the Bible speak.